Tech of Sports. Golf course architect, Bobby Weed. This one week on the Tech of Sports, Bobby Weed. I just want to let you know that Modern Life Network has mobile apps where you can receive the content that the studio produces on your smart devices. There's an app for both iOS and Android. Don't forget Stitcher Radio, TuneIn Radio. For all your Android, iOS devices, you can get all your shows all loaded, ready to go, easy to listen to. Tech of Sports is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network at techpodcast.com. And the Tech of Sports is a production of the Modern Life Podcast Network at modernlifepodcastnetwork.com. Great guest this week, golf course architect, noted golf course architect, Bobby Weed. He renovates, repurposes, designs new courses, and does great work with existing courses. Repurposing helps clubs and communities keep the cost down, preserve golf, something we're all trying to do. He's over 35 years friendship with Pete Dye. And he's just been in the golf course business a long time. He's worked with and collaborated with all the big names in golf course design. And he's got a bunch of new courses out. He's received awards. Bobby Weed Golf Design recently renovated Culver Academy's golf course in Culver, Indiana. Did a great job with that. So we're going to talk with Bobby Weed tonight. A little great short interview here on the Tech of Sports. Hope you enjoy it. And we'll keep thinking about golf here, even with cold weather around a lot of the country. And looking forward to spring. So here's Bobby Weed. And I'm with noted golf course architect Bobby Weed. And Bobby, as we sit here tonight and you kind of think about all the courses, clubs, places you've had a chance to work on and work your magic on, it's a pretty amazing career you've had in golf course architecture.
Well, there's no question. And I'm very fortunate and very humble for where I've been, what I'm doing, my career, and as we speak, I just pulled into Delray Beach, Florida, and staying the night with Allison Pete Dye, and that's always a special occasion because I consider them mentors. So it's great in that respect, and I owe so much of my success and whatever I have achieved at this point, certainly to Pete and Alan. So it's always good to spend time with them.
Yeah, a great mentor for sure. What did you kind of pick up from Pete early on that maybe did he inspire you? Did he make you think? Did he? I know he made you work hard, but what did you kind of pick up early on that that helped you in your career?
Well, certainly, I had a great work ethic from my family, from my father and my family, but that carried over to with Pete and his continued desire to build great golf courses and his work ethic. It just seemed like it went to the next level. I mean, I've never met someone so passionate. Maybe two guys in my career that I have met that I've noted such passion associated with the game, and certainly Pete Dye first and foremost, and also with Dean Beamon. And when you have an opportunity to work with two guys like that, that have certainly influenced the game the way they have, and to work with them beside them and to see their passion for the game, it made it pretty easy for me to carry on. But Pete in particular, just such a great work ethic and what he taught me in design, that you build golf courses in the field. I'll never forget, Pete said, you show me a golf course built from a set of plans, and I'll show you a bad golf course. It always happens in the field, and you have to be out there chasing and molding and changing and rubbing on it continuously and never being satisfied until you feel like you have really got it just the way you want it. And that's probably stayed with me as much as anything, and never be content with what you're doing, and always try to make it as good as you can, or make it even better. And those are attributes that Pete has I would say Pete's greatest legacy. One of Pete's greatest legacies, besides his passing, of course, is the people that he has influenced. All the people that he has influenced in the game, and so many other guys just like me that he has taken under his wing and given an opportunity. I mean, that's me, I think, is also going to be so much part of his legacy one day.
And maybe part of your legacy, we're here with Bobby Weed, golf course architect. Part of your legacy, Bobby, may be your ability to repurpose and redesign, reallocate parts of certain courses or courses as a whole, as we're kind of in a different stage when it comes to the world of golf with economic and a bunch of other challenges. Your skill and your eye has really been great, and a strength of yours kind of repurposing, redesigning courses.
Well, you know, it's a different business today. The industry has changed, the business has changed, golfers have changed, and we have to change. We have to change with that from a design standpoint. Golf is played differently today. I mean, the wants, needs, and desires of golfers are different today. I mean, we live in a society today that is more informal. We have a society today that has less disposable time. We have less disposable income today for things like golf. And you know, we're going to have to change. The game of golf is going to have to change. It's not like it was when our parents grew up. And from generations past, so you know, we've got to change the game ourselves for this next generation. And you know, I like that challenge. I think it's important in repurposing and building more user friendly golf courses today. I think it's important. We just can't allow the less than 1% of really good golfers, say the tour pros, they just can't influence the game to the point where we make it so difficult that people can't play the game. We've got to lower these barriers, and we got to keep people playing the game and enjoying the game and introducing more folks to the game. And we've got so many good allied associations with the PGA Tour, the PGA, USGA, Augusta National, the First Tee Program. There's so many other allied associations that are really truly trying to reintroduce the game to folks. And you know, it's that kind of effort that's going to allow the game to continue to grow. And despite what you hear out there about how bad things are, you know what? The game of golf is in pretty good shape, and we're going to be fine. We're going to be just fine.
Yeah, golf has persevered for centuries, so I don't think it's going anywhere anytime soon. What is the one secret to kind of repurposing a course, but or maybe a legendary or historic course, a well-known course, without losing its heart and soul and kind of the love that the people that play the course have? How difficult a challenge is that?
Well, in my world, repurposing has kind of evolved because there's a lot of clubs that they're carrying too much debt, and they need some relief. They're not competitive in the marketplace today, and from a repurposing standpoint, we've been able to create a new model to where we can take golf courses, whether they're 27 down to 18 or 18 down to 9 or even 18 holes, where we can find some additional space within the golf course to where we can move a few holes around and create a little infill development opportunities and do some of these partial land use conversions, so that some of these clubs can rezone and re-entitle some property. And we're working on a golf course up outside of Princeton, New Jersey right now. And we've done a number of these, but we're currently working on a nice project up in the Princeton, New Jersey area. Whereas we've been able to carve out a 10 plus or minus acre development parcel, previously unused within the club property. And we have been able to we're in the process of rezoning and re-entitling this property, and it'll generate a significant land sale because we'll sell this property to a major developer, and they'll come in and develop this property, and it will, you know, it'll generate $10-12 million to the club, and that money will allow a club to retire some debt, certainly put some money back into the golf course to make it more competitive in their marketplace, do something more than just a little bit of lipstick on the clubhouse, and just improve the overall facility and make them competitive, and get them in a position to where they can be attractive to the millennials and this new generation coming on that would still like to be a member of golf club and enjoy the benefits of a membership of the golf club. So we've done a lot of these across the United States, and it's a great way to rejuvenate some clubs and breathe life back into some of these clubs and to make them competitive in the marketplace going forward. And if we're doing that with real estate, a lot of these golf courses that were built in the 50s, 60s, 70s, and 80s, you know, development has surrounded them and gone on beyond them, and all of a sudden you got this golf course that's like a little hole in the donut, and you've got this infill development opportunity that has previously never been offered before. And if we can create some development opportunity and create some revenue back and a land sale back into these clubs where they can, you know, update their clubs and get them ready for this next generation, well, that's gonna be good for golf. It's gonna be good for all of these clubs, and gonna be good for the local community. It's gonna be create new tax base and increase property value for homeowners around the golf course. So it's really a win-win opportunity.
It really is a win-win for everybody, and also showing that you kind of have to get creative and forward-thinking today when you're. When you're looking at the your golf course as a whole, as a business and as a part of the community. We're with Bobby Weed wrapping up here, bobbyweed.com. And Bobby, last thing, the show here is called the Tech of Sports. How much have you embraced technology when it comes to your work and your business as far as golf course design, architecture, and construction?
Well, technology is driving everything. I mean, not only is it, you know, from a, you know, what you hear about, read about is all the club technology and the shafts and the clubs and the golf balls, but at the same time, we have new turf grasses, we have new technological advances and irrigation and equipment. There's so many new advancements in the game that is benefiting all of us, and hopefully that's going to benefit new folks coming into the game. I think it's a great opportunity. I'm so excited as a golf course architect. While we're not building a lot of new golf courses, we're still closing more golf courses than we're opening. That attrition is just a correction in the marketplace, and while that's going to continue, it's also going to make it's all going to make us better in the long term. So the technological advancements in the game are great. I mean, it's happening in every facet of industry and business, and certainly the same goes for golf. And I just couldn't be more excited about the state of the game, where we are today, and where we're going.
I hope you enjoyed the interviews. Thanks so much to Bobby Weed for giving up some of his time as he was out of town and coming on the show. And just great to talk with Bobby. Bobbyweed.com is the website you can go to. And also, don't forget about Amazon.com, the affiliate link here at the studio. Go to modernlifepodcastnetwork.com/Amazon for any and all of your shopping needs this holiday season, as the holidays are quickly approaching. So Modern Life Network has many other shows which may be of interest to you. Head on over to modernlifepodcastnetwork.com. Check out what's available. So thanks again to Bobby Weed. Thanks for tuning in to the Tech of Sports, a Modern Life Podcast Network production.